You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Congratulations, Marcus Colston, Reggie Bush. Newest members of the Saints Hall of Fame. That's right, this upcoming season. You'll get to see them. You'll get to wait in line. If you remember the Hall of Fame line last year during the game, get there early. Get there early. When they do the autographs and all of that, they'll do it at the Saints Hall of Fame when they induct them. Get there early because that line snaked all the way around the dome. I happened to be at that game. It walked through the concourse. You are not. I saw people in line all the way in the back. It was 11:30. There was no way you were getting to them by noon. So it wasn't happening. Let's welcome you officially to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more of that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
It is Sean G, the Digital Underground head coach, Sean Payton, Caleb the Camel. Also a part of that as well. Jordan Kahn from The Ringer. Did you know that the camel in that Geico commercial name was Caleb?
I had no idea.
Yeah, we Googled
him. None at all.
He has a SAG card. He's been in Transformers.
Caleb.
Yes, he's been in like six different movies and commercials, so he definitely has a SAG card.
Quite a career, wow.
Yeah. Words of wisdom.
Peace and happiness.
Yeah, nothing like knowing a camel is probably living better than me, you know? It is what it is.
He's earned it.
Earned it, though. I mean, he is. It's not hard walking across sand and a Transformer is trying to get you. So, I mean, it is what it is. Jordan Kahn from The Ringer joining us another segment here. Coming up next, it's Mark Berman. Covers the Knicks. And we're going to see what's going on over there. So many different rumors. This is the funny season. This is what happens right now, right? Who's playing their hand? Who's not? Look, let's be honest. Free agency will be big. You know this. Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant. You know, Jimmy Butler has purple and gold sneakers. You saw that on Instagram this week. What does that mean and all that? It's AD. Where AD, you want to get AD before, because that is a known. Period, end of story. So that's one thing. He's in town to help put together the story that you're doing on Zion. We're going to get to all of that and recap it here in a quick second. Kenny Farrell, bottom of the hour, is a U.S. friendly. The men taking on Jamaica as they get ready for the Gold Cup, which starts in 2 weeks. And Ali Kassel from After the Bird Rights will go preview game 3 of the NBA Finals. Lee, thanks for holding on during the break. Have at it. Go.
Hey. Hi, Jordan. Welcome to New Orleans, man. Let me tell you something about New Orleans. We love people who love us. That's the bottom line. If you're an AD guy, and AD was New Orleans was ready to be his and his exclusively, but he never really loved us. He never really, and I think a lot of people genuinely felt that, number one. Number two, we never felt that he was that alpha dog that Zion is already. He hadn't stepped on the NBA court yet, and we already know he's going to be an alpha dog because he's already saying the right things. He wants to build his legacy wherever he lands. He said that on more than one occasion, and AD had the opportunity to do just that. Yeah, I understand he played with us 7 years and never won the championship or anything like that. But there were a lot of times when he needed to take over the game, have that big moment, and take over the team. He just didn't do it enough. He did it once in OKC when he hit that half-court shot at the buzzer type stuff. That's the type of stuff we were looking for from him, and he never delivered that. And one thing, you know, I'm not upset with AD because one thing I realized, and I think a lot of us realize, is that he's not a leader. He's a follower. Leaders lead from the front. The bottom line is if the Pelicans wasn't playing the way they needed to play, it was on him to take everybody by their neck and say, look, we're going to win this game no matter what. Y'all make sure I touch the ball every time down the court, I'm going to put my size on what, you know what, up your butt if I don't get the ball. He never did that type of stuff. So I want you to take back wherever you go from coming down here to check us out, is that you let the world know this is a passionate fan base. This is an educated fan base. We know our sports. Might not know a lot of things. Our politics are a little shaky, but I'm telling you, when it comes to sports, we know it. We know baseball. We know football. We know basketball. We know golf. You name it, we know it. That's the bottom line. It's a passionate base down here, and if you love us, we will love you back tenfold. You can ask anybody. Ask Cam Jordan. You don't have to go no further than Cam Jordan. And all the other guys on the team that we, even Marcus Colston. Ask those guys who's been inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. New Orleans fan base is like none other. And all AD had to do, and he didn't do it, that's because he don't have a big enough britches. I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. He don't have big enough britches to be the alpha dog, because if he was such a great player like we were hoping he would be, then guess what? LeBron had the opportunity to come here and play with him. He didn't have to go to L.A. to that garbage team. Just because L.A. is a big market doesn't mean that they were a big team. The Pelicans was 10 times better than the Lakers, and if LeBron would have came here and played with A.D., guess what? We might be in the finals right now. So as far as that goes, A.D. need to realize, okay, it doesn't matter the market you're in. If you a baller, the money's going to follow you. It's going to find you. All you have to do is be a baller. Period. The end. He needs to step up and be that baller. And I don't care where he goes. He's not going to win until he realizes, okay, you know what? It's on me to be the alpha dog. He's not living up to his potential. That's the bottom line. AD, I love you, bro. Good luck wherever you go. But good riddance at this point. Bring on Zion.
I'm curious, Lee, what about Zion do you see that makes you feel confident it is a different story with him, that he is made differently and it's going to play out differently when he's here?
I just hung up. Oh. You know what? That's a good question. 800-998-1003. Why do you have so much hope? Is it just based off of highlights? Which again, that's good enough for me. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, you know, because I do get phone calls. And again, you have talked to people that have played with them, covered them. So maybe you can help me answer this for those that have called and said, is it going to translate? They're fearful. He doesn't have the jump shot and all that. I'm like, I don't need him shooting threes. I don't need him trying to knock down. He has a skill set that many in the NBA don't have. That's athleticism, the ability to jump out the gym, literally. He has a defensive presence where he can steal the ball at the top of the key in the wing area and start his own fast break or pass it. He shows a willingness
Great
to pass.
Vision.
In two steps, can go from the paint to shot block a three-point attempt in the corner. I'm trying to think of NBA players that do that. And as I mentioned, is athletic enough that in the NBA, it's all about spacing. There's less defense than there is in college. And if you have a coach worth his wild, you're going to create space. You get a point guard that understands that, which is my fantasy dream, John Morant. Just imagine what that's going to be. That translates. Already that translates. It's David Griffin's job from that point on and Trajan Langdon to find the stationary three-point shooter that's going to be wide open when he drives the lane. It's his job to find the guy's going to knock down the jumper or help the defense on the other end. That guy is going to translate because he can do so much already. You just find pieces to help the other things. He's going to develop the shot. Jordan didn't do the fadeaway jumper till later. You know, Jordan wasn't a great shooter when he came into the league. And in the game against the Celtics, it was his athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, no one is better than NBA assistant coaches at teaching guys who get to the league without knowing how to shoot. It just happens. It happens all the time. That is, and it's happening more and more with big men, obviously, because of the way the game is changing. And I feel confident. Zion, the shot is already okay. It'll get better. And the skill set is just, like you said, it's going to translate. And the athleticism, obviously, is otherworldly, but it's not just the athleticism. It's also the vision. It's also the ability to handle the ball. It's also the ability to take the ball at the top of the key and take one or two dribbles and get a good shot or find a cutter. And it's the defensive intensity. It's the all out effort. And the caller mentioned him being an alpha dog. And one thing I will say from talking to people who've played with him is he's not terribly vocal at this point. Maybe that will come, but that his effort and intensity, even when he was in high school practicing with guys who don't have a prayer of playing even Division III college basketball, the effort and intensity was always unmatched and always kind of lifting up the people mm-hmm. around him because they have to get on his level.
I think what's interesting, you mentioned earlier last hour when you were talking to different people about the story that he always is inclusive of his teammates. And I read a piece where, and you saw it on the Duke Blue Devil YouTube station, he'd grab the walk-on player, or he'd grab a guy that, you know, maybe no one would take a picture. He's like, no, come stand there next to him. I don't know if it was deflection of the attention. Maybe it's an inclusive, but something tells me it's not that that's kind of who he is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think he just loves being a part of a team. I mean, I think that he, there was all the controversy after his shoe blew out and all these people saying, well, he should just shut it down for the rest of the season. He shouldn't come back. He should make sure.
Some of the same people, by the way, not to interrupt you, were saying he should go back to Duke and not play in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Same people, right? Yeah. Should never step foot at Duke. No, you don't want to go to New Orleans. It's not a big market. Go back to Duke. That drove us nuts that week.
I can only imagine. Yeah. But the truth is, this guy wants to play basketball. He wanted to play basketball after he got healthy at Duke. He wanted to be with his teammates and help them make a run in the tournament. Obviously, it didn't turn out the way they wanted, but he wanted to be on the floor. And my expectation is that he's going to want to play basketball here in New Orleans and be really excited about building whatever they can build here.
Exactly. Look, at the end of the day, you always hear these players, AD, legacy and all that. You build your own. You really do. And again, we've talked about it already in an hour and 10 minutes here. If you're good enough, the world will know who you are in today's social media. It's so easy. And again, 3.3 million followers on Instagram. That's only going to grow. And it's going to be his highlights, him eating a beignet, him trying a crawfish. I mean, all these different things that's going to happen. And it's just, that's what I keep saying to the city. Just embrace it. Embrace what's going to happen. You're going to get more notoriety and publicity.
Yeah, the level of attention, the level of potential global fame is, I would say, probably going to be unlike anything that this city or many cities have ever seen. I mean, this is someone with the potential. Again, we're
right.
just
All
talking
potential.
About potential.
Right.
Not only as a player, but also the marketability. This is someone with the potential to become one of the most famous athletes on the planet. And I would imagine as a city having someone like that here, like you said, eating the beignets and maybe being around a Mardi Gras and just doing all of the things to embrace the city.
The possibilities are endless. The guy smiles all the time. He seems genuinely happy. You know, it's going to be, and that's why I keep saying it drove me nuts the night of the lottery. It's the worst place he can come. It's the best place he can come. David Griffin won a championship in a city that was desperate for one. With a player who right now, and I mean this respectfully, is the biggest diva in the NBA. If you don't please him, you're gone. Well, I mean, he wants to trade all of them. He got rid of David Blatt, and they were in first place. Head coaches, starting lineups, you name it. He was happy with them.
Yeah.
The day Griffin was let go, he was ticked off. So if you can make him happy, and you can deal with the pressure of knowing the second he comes to your team, the only thing is a championship. And if they lose two games, screaming and everybody saying, Cleveland's done. They need this guy. They need a shooter. They need a fire to coach. That's when they lose two in a row. Who better to handle everything that's coming than David Griffin? I mean, it's the best place, actually, when you think about it for Zion. It really honestly is.
And it's interesting that you mentioned the pressure because that is what happens. The moment you get a generational talent on your team,
Clock's
that player arrives with pressure on everyone.
Everyone's
job, the stakes get higher. And there are different ways to respond to that pressure, and you saw a way not to do it, really, in the way that the Pelicans have dealt with having Anthony Davis on their team over these last few years. But if you respond to that pressure with a level-headedness and with a sense of a plan rather than just kind of grasping at different pieces to surround this generational talent with, then, you know, the potential reward is greater than anything you can imagine.
Hope you enjoyed yourself, Jordan.
It was a blast.
We're going to have some fun tonight. We are. You see, I talk a lot. So a lot of times I think a lot of people have been entertained by this as well. Daniel wants to chime in. We'll take the quick break. We'll take him if you don't mind.
Sure.
And then Mark Berman from the New York Post is going to be standing by as well. So we'll take Daniel's thoughts. We'll hear from you. And then we'll talk to Mark Berman, New York Post, the latest on the Knicks. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
Yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any make or model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Saunders and Chabe are attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Who would have thought? Who would have guessed? An energy company helping cars emit less. Making cars lighter is a good place to start. Advanced oils for those hard-working parts. Fuels that go further so drivers pump less. At ExxonMobil, it's what we do best. Efficiency is our driving ambition. It's full speed ahead to produce fewer emissions. Explore more about unexpected energy sources at energyfactor.com. Energy lives here.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's healthcare. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Mark Berman, New York Post, going to go to him in a matter of minutes. First, Daniel, thanks for holding on. What you got, bud?
Hey, guys, thank you for my call.
Yep.
Real quick, Jordan, you said you're from Nashville, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so just kind of curious, how long have you been in Nashville?
For 5 years.
Okay, that's interesting. So I've been in New Orleans 5 years, but I grew up in Nashville. And so,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so what's interesting is that when I was 10, 11 years old, that's when the Titans just came to town, and obviously the Vols were in the peak of their dominance. So as a kid, everything was Titans. Eddie George, Keith Snare, Frank Wycheck, I mean, Titans, Titans, Titans. That's all that you cared about. And the Predators came along, and admittingly so, the entire time I was in Nashville, I didn't go to a single Preds game.
Wow. But,
yeah, and it's crazy because the past 5 years, like, you know, we go up there and go to a gas station and they have just as much Predators merchandise in a gas station as they have Titans or Volunteer stuff, which is unheard of. And I think this gets to your point, Gus, when you're talking about getting the Pelicans out there and the ability. And yes, Zion is going to play a huge role in that for sure. However, at the end of the day, the reason the Preds are so big is because they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I think at the end of the day, the reason the Pelicans are going to do anything is if they do what? Win games. So I'm excited about Zion, but at the end of the day, they got to win. And I think all Saints fans, or all Saints, all Pelicans, all New Orleans fans, that's what we want. We just want a winning team. I mean, do y'all agree with that?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, we keep using the word potential. Potential is only going to go so far. You got to win, right? I mean, the excitement level and everything happens. You got to win. It's interesting. Reggie Bush and Marcus Colston inducted or announced today they will be the newest inductions this fall into the Saints Hall of Fame. And I was telling Jordan about, look, there was potential for Reggie Bush, but until he started winning games and it was Drew Brees, you know, and all that. But winning is really what's going to matter.
Right, no, for sure. And I think at the end of the day, we don't care who's on the court. We want to win the team. And I think Zion will help us. And I was the happiest person in the world when we won the number one overall pick. And at the end of the day, the reason we love our Saints, the same reason LSU fans love their Tigers and all of that is you got to get those W's. So it'll be fun to see what happens. But I thought that comparison was interesting with the Predators. That's why I called in. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate it. Any parting shots?
Yeah, I think rather? That's, I mean, enthusiasm follows winning, and then you spoke to the developing of a knowledge base. Knowledge often, I think, follows enthusiasm. And yeah, ultimately, it doesn't matter how many Instagram followers he has. It doesn't matter how big of a global phenomenon he is. If here locally, what's going to matter is how it translates onto the court and how it translates in the standings.
Mark Berman joins us from the New York Post at @NYPost_Berman. It's a way to follow him over on Twitter. Mark, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming on, man. We're just talking with Jordan Kahn here from The Ringer, talking about, you know, Zion Williamson and all the hopes we're thinking about that. What's it like in New York right now? Eyes on free agency, perhaps, of what can be. Maybe AD, maybe KD, the works.
They're not talking about Zion Williamson anymore, right. That's for sure. It's actually unfortunate for the NBA. You know, it would have been a great story if Anthony Davis was all in on Zion. Instead, this global phenomenon and the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know, gets to New Orleans eventually, and Anthony Davis doesn't even want to play with him. It's just so bizarre. It's only the NBA this could happen after all the hype for Zion Williamson. But anyway, so Knicks fans don't talk about Zion anymore. And to be honest, you know, I don't know about the fans, but I know that there's some concern right now, you know, in the organization. Not concern, but not the super confidence that maybe a month ago that they were going to land two max free agents, in Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I have not confirmed this, but, you know, Kyrie is leaning toward the Nets right now, according to reports. And listen, David Griffin, when he was on the NBA TV or whatever network he was on before he came to New Orleans, he reported that Kyrie would lean toward Brooklyn after spending some of his childhood in West Orange, New Jersey, and kind of grew up with that great Nets team that Jason Kidd led to the finals. So without Kyrie, does KD want to come solo? I really believe Kemba Walker is staying where the money is in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Knicks still have their, you know, tentacles out with Kawhi Leonard. At least Kawhi has spent some time in the metropolitan area. He lived there last season for much of the season while he sat out in San Antonio because his uncle lives in New Jersey. His uncle is essentially, you know, his quasi-father. His father mm-hmm. passed away. So, listen, Leonard is someone that they would love to have as much as KD. So we'll see how it plays out. But draft-wise, you know, Zion's buddy R.J. Barrett looks like a lock at three unless the Knicks could put together the package for the disgruntled Anthony Davis.
That's what I was going to get to. Mark Berman, New York Post. I think one of the things that over here, we have 100 general managers that call the show and tweet all the time, all the different trade offers and packages. I do like some of the Knicks pieces and things of that nature. What can you tell us about a team that, look, they lost 20-plus games in a row, and they didn't win a ton of games, but there seems to be a lot of excitement, at least around here, about a Dennis Smith Jr., about a Mitchell Robinson, about some pieces that they can add, plus that number three pick. In covering that team and seeing what they were last year, what can you tell us about the young pieces that the Knicks may have to offer?
Yeah, well, you could have all of them. You could have all three of those guys you mentioned. Okay. R.J. Barrett could play with Zion Williamson, and they love each other. They were like quasi-brothers in college. In fact, to a point where I think Cam Reddish was sort of the third man out. You know, he was sort of the third wheel. So Mitchell Robinson, you know, from Charlotte, outside of New Orleans, what, 15, 20 minutes, he tells us, if it's accurate. But he was a terrific shot blocker. He was very active. He was in foul trouble a bit, and he didn't take any jump shots. So there's still holes in his game. As you know, he didn't go to college. He needed probably to go 1 year at college, but you know, he didn't feel he was the academic type in that setting. So he's a definite piece that New Orleans will have to get in a package, especially with the local ties. You know, they like Kevin Knox, although he was up and down in the regular season. He had a terrific summer league, and I know they saw that, and I know they really liked it. So Kevin Knox and Mitchell and Dennis Smith Jr. still has loads of potential. It didn't work out well for him in Dallas. He butted heads with Rick Carlisle, who's a very rough and tumble coach, but he hit it off with David Fizdale. But still, he's got holes in his game, too. Defensively, he's not a great three-point shooter, but he's a tremendous talent, and he's still so young. And he's also a Southern kid. So the Knicks could really put together, you know, three Southern guys in Smith, Mitchell, and Knox, and Barrett. I mean, that's a good package to me for a guy who's going to be a free agent in 2020. Not to mention the Knicks could throw in one of Dallas's first-round picks from either 2021 or 2023. They got that in the Porzingis deal. Yeah, there's a lot of pieces the Knicks could throw at New Orleans. I think if Knox had a better rookie year, the Knicks would be in a lot better shape in terms of putting together a great package.
Yeah, you know, Mark, as we look at all the different, I guess, possibilities, I like that one above them all. I know there's a lot of people for months, possibly a couple of years, with all the talk about Boston wanting him so much. But if Kyrie doesn't go there, if I'm Danny Ainge, Mark, I'm not throwing Jason Tatum in any deal, right? I'm not doing that. I keep every single day keep hearing that we need to take this Lakers package, the Godfather package. I don't like any of that because I don't know if Brandon Ingram is healthy. Lonzo Ball can't shoot. You know, I mean, so it's AD for Kuzma in the four. I'd rather the third overall pick. The Clippers got some young pieces. That's intriguing, but they're clearing up cap space to maybe make a run to Kawhi and keep their young pieces. So, to me, New York kind of seems like where everyone's happy. AD said he'd sign long-term. That might get KD to go there. We get what we want over here. He's in the East. I just think like it's a good deal for everybody, Mark.
And especially for Zion, because, you know, if RJ's in that package, he gets to play with a great friend, a guy who they have great chemistry on the court and obviously off the court. And, again, Mitchell Robinson, he got a big opportunity because the Knicks were tanking, and he made the most of it, but he still is a little bit of a project. I mean, and I know New Orleans is rebuilding, so I think it's a good situation. But if I'm Griffin, I don't take the deal. You know, there's a lot of Knicks fans who are adamant. Like, if we're going to do this trade, we have to keep Mitchell Robinson out of the deal. And I'm sorry, he's got to be in the deal. I mean, it just makes so much sense for him to be part of this package, especially with the New Orleans ties. And he's the center, and that's what Anthony Davis is. So, you know, I think Knicks fans got to realize that Davis is a top five player, and he wants to be in New York. And you got to, you know, put that asset into the trade.
Yeah, I'm with you. At @NYPost_Berman's the way to follow Mark, folks. Obviously, could be a center of a lot of attention in the next couple of weeks. Final question for you, since you're out there covering the finals, Game 3 tonight. How do you see this one going? They're not very healthy, the Warriors, but they're still the Warriors, right?
you know, this is one game where, like, I don't think Las Vegas should put out a line on it. I don't know if they have, because who knows if Klay Thompson is going to play. If he does play, is it going to be at 65%? We know Durant's out. Cousins looked very good, but he's going to be amazed. Now the pressure's on him. He was all gravy the other night, but now everyone's focused on Cousins, you know, coming up big, and how is he going to handle that spotlight? This is only his third playoff game ever. I cannot figure out, you know, who to pick. You know, gun to my head, I would have to take Toronto. Golden State has too many injuries right now, and Siakam is due for a better game than game two, and Leonard hasn't really been terrific yet. So I would give the edge to Toronto for game three, but I still think Golden State's winning the series.
Warriors 4.5 is the line that I just popped up on the laptop here, Mark. So
yeah, I would definitely take the Canadian team on that one.
There you go. Mark, thank you for the time, man. I know you're busy. Appreciate the insight a little bit. And look, I mean, folks around here are keeping an eye up there in New York and seeing if that's a possible trade partner.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very, very interesting. There's going to be a lot of great offers out there. And this is Griffin's first major move. He's got to hit a home run.
I'm with you. At @NYPost_Berman, Mark Berman, the New York Post, covers the Knicks and a little tennis as well. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Yep, bye. For sure. Jordan, you were listening in on the conversation. Look, I'm all New York Knicks on this. I just think it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. I've thought that Lakers package looks pretty nice, but the questions about Ingram are really, you know, that it could be enough, right, to make you think.
And Ball's dad's already said he didn't like here because it snows. You've been here for what, 3 days, 2 days? This Wednesday. Okay. Yeah.
Has it? I've seen no snow.
Yeah, it's no snow. It's hot. There's no snow.
I have sweat through a few shirts,
exactly.
But
that's no snow. I want to ask you this as we go to break, because you did a lot of this on Zion. And again, I can't wait to read this. Everyone assumes, I guess, and says him and RJ are good friends. Are they? Can you see that happening? Or does RJ want to kind of have his own brand because at Duke it was about Zion?
You know, I wouldn't be able to give any real special insight into that other than Zion loved that Duke team. He loved playing with those guys. RJ obviously is a big piece of that. My sense is that they are close. You know, you could argue that the basketball fit wasn't the greatest at Duke, but that maybe it could be better in the NBA.
Right.
But I think it makes a lot of sense to pair those two together.
At Jordan Cotton's, the way to follow him on Twitter is with The Ringer. Thanks so much, man. Looking forward to hanging out tonight.
Yeah, same here.
All right, we come back. Kenny Farrell will give us a preview, a friendly, as it's called, USA and Jamaica. That is up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Ride the world's largest inline water slide. Ride the world's largest racer slide. Ride the world's largest funnel slide. At Blue Bayou. Ride the world's largest dark bowl slide. Ride the world's largest sled slide. And ride the world's largest upside down water slide. At Blue Bayou. We are the South's largest water park. And get $5 off your day pass with any Coca-Cola product can. Blue Bayou is the land of the giants. I-10 at the Highland Road exit, Baton Rouge.
100 years of hard work can take you far. And no one knows that better than Goodyear. In 1918, we started the Akron Wingfoots basketball team, laced up, and took to the court. And we've been outperforming the rest ever since. Goodyear proudly celebrates our 100th anniversary in basketball and our relentless dedication to being unstoppable. Goodyear, more driven.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
This is the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Did you guys see what Chris Long said about chili cheese Fritos? I mean, it's ridiculous. He says it's a first ballot Hall of Fame snack. First of all, you're going to put first ballot Hall of Fame snacks, it's going to be regular Fritos first. You can't put in chili cheese Fritos before regular Fritos. But if we're talking chips Hall of Fame, it's regular Lay's, sour cream and onion, salt and vinegar, first ballot.
I can tell you the first two, nacho cheese Doritos, Cool Ranch Doritos.
Only one Doritos gets in the first ballot, not both.
The blue.
And it's the red.
Blue.
No, it's the red.
No, it's the blue.
Oh, the red. It makes a mess.
The blue.
What is the mess? It's got to be the red.
You eat the red Doritos, your fingers are red for 4 days.
The Cool Ranch, our first ballot Hall of Famer.
You've got to be kidding me.
Thank you.
You have got to be kidding me. The Doritos are the original. Cheese Doritos, plain. They are Babe Bleeping Ruth. Cool Ranch is just something coming afterward.
Cool Ranch is Seth Curry. Red Doritos is Steph Curry.
The Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ah, little soccer thanks to Jordan from The Ringer. And we'll chat tonight. We're going to be over at Tracy's, just watching the game tonight. If you want to come over and say hi to him and hang out a little bit there. Some fun questions as well that were coming across it. We'll see if he makes it into the conversation here as well. Got a little friendly tonight, though, with soccer. The Women's World Cup starts Friday. The ladies won't play until a couple of days from now. Gold Cup for the men, that's a couple of Tuesdays from now when they play. But there's a friendly tonight. Head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters, at NOLA Jesters, the way to follow over on Twitter, joins us to preview the friendly. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It kind of seems like soccer has been, this is the last couple of weeks and month, really, that really stands out. Obviously, you have the Champions League final on Saturday. We talked about that back on Monday. And now you have a friendly. USA, Jamaica. I read a really good piece, and I sent you the link yesterday, about the new team, the new coach, and really, here we go now. Let's start to kind of see it. Pulisic and a couple of others aren't in camp just yet. It's the next phase of, I guess, getting ready for the Cup. I guess start there. What do they mean when they say different phases of training and getting ready for that?
Yeah, well, so to put it in perspective, you just talked about the Women's World Cup is coming up in a couple of days. So they've been preparing for 4 years since the last one to get everything right, because that's what you do as a national team. You prepare to compete and win the World Cup, and the women are prepared for that. So they're going in, understanding everything, cutting players, understand the style of play, understand their strengths and weaknesses, have looked at the style of play of the teams that they're playing against, and now is the time, you know, to step up on the final stage for the finale and go win it. Well, what this game is basically the first test, the first real test, I think. Well, the Gold Cup is the first real test, and this is the last preparation for it, for the World Cup in 3 years' time for the men. So they're on the start of their path, and where the women are on the end of their path. So he's looking at a lot of players. He's trying to find out who in 3 years' time could be mature enough to work within the roster, fit the style of play he wants to play, can be adjusted and versatile depending on whether they're playing the best teams in the world or the worst teams in the world, and build that squad over the next 3 years so they can go and very much compete at the World Cup. I mean, it might be a big ask to ask them to win it at this point of men's national team soccer in the U.S., but to go as far as they possibly can. So all these players are playing for that, so it's not even the first act. What it is the end of the preparation, and so very different from what the women are doing right now. I hope that explains it to you a little bit.
No, it does. You got Venezuela coming up on the 9th, so Jamaica, Venezuela, and then the World Cup group stage match is one of three. It's Guyana on Tuesday the 18th, and then you have the 22nd, Trinidad, Tobago, and then Panama. So those are the three that go there. Why is it important, the Gold Cup? Because I want to say what they have it right now, right? They won it in 2017.
Yeah. Well, it's great to win the World Cup, and that's what the Gold Cup, and that's what everybody wants to do. For me, look, if you don't mind, I'm going to switch into the coach's mind right now. These games, when you look at them, these are the teams that they may meet in the qualifying rounds for the World Cup going forward. So they're great preparation games.
Gotcha.
Even though the tournament is very big and enjoyable, and fans want them to win it. They want good performances, and they don't want to, you know, to lose a bad game. But at the same time, the coach has this opportunity to play teams like Panama that may come down to, as you remember, in the last qualifiers for the World Cup, Panama wasn't our friend. They may have to play Trinidad and Tobago, our team, similar in style of play and skill and level of play. So the games are very, very big for that. And then, as I say, from the balancing job that the head coach has is, okay, we know what he set out to do. He's been clear about how he wants to play. Who are the players that can execute it? Who can handle adversity? Who can handle sitting on the bench, coming off the bench if he hasn't got a spot? Now, everything he's looking for over and above the actually winning the game and a great performance. So, mm-hmm. you know, who can handle the type of play that they're playing against? And you can't say at this point that the USA is, you know, they should be, in theory, and on paper they are, one of the top teams in CONCACAF, which is our region of the world. But based on the results recently and not making the last World Cup, you can't say that. So, therefore, these are very important games to get that right with a new bunch of players. And from that coach's perspective, this is really a test. He wants to win it, don't get me wrong. He's going to be under pressure to play great football no matter what. The fans need to buy back into the team. We know that. So he's got a honeymoon period that's, you know, probably going to come to an end real soon. Mm-hmm. And then, but the fans want to dominate teams. They want possession. If I was him, I'd be looking at, you know, core stuff right now, apart from the ability to play and looking at the leagues that these teams play in around the world for quality. I'd be looking at, you've got to build, who's going to be the goalkeeper? Who's going to be pushing the goalkeeper? And who can be that goalkeeper like Tim Howard was in those great years when we were doing well in World Cups? That would make that two or three fantastic saves in a game against
right,
top
right.
teams. He's looking for that. Then you look for the root. You look for the two center backs. Who are those guys? What leagues are they playing? How are they being challenged week in, week out? Can they play at the international level? Can we not just get through, you know, qualifying for the World Cup through our region, but we can actually go on and these can be players that can compete at that level? So there is so much going forward over this Gold Cup. I think it's a lot bigger once you get into the details of it and you get behind where the U.S. national team is right now.
Coach,
than people actually realize.
Speaking with Coach Kenny Farrell of the Chesters, you know, one of the things that you have said to me on air and off there, we're going to get better as a country if a lot of our players start playing in some of the better leagues across Europe to get that experience to come in until MLS mm-hmm. gets up to that level. When you see the U.S. keeper, Zach Steffen, joining the Bundesliga club Fortuna Dusseldorf on loan, that's mm-hmm. kind of that experience that you're talking about, right? I mean, if he's going to be that guy that's going to be the stopper mm-hmm. come to the World Cup in a couple of years, going into a league like that and being the keeper there is pretty good.
Yeah, that's really important. That's the dichotomy that you have to deal with over here. Is like, do we build the MLS? Do we look for MLS players, or do we want our players playing in higher level leagues? And let's be honest, the MLS is doing fantastic as far as where it's come from in 25 years now. It's doing brilliantly. I mean, great stadiums, great crowds, and good, we're producing good players and stuff like that. But it's still not the English Premier League. It's still not the Bundesliga. It's still not Serie A. And week in, week out, those players are being challenged at that level and have to challenge themselves to perform at that level to compete, which would be much better for the men's national team. And a lot of people don't want to come out and say that, and U.S. soccer don't really want to say that. They really want it to come from MLS. But really, I would prefer that our key players, if not most of our players, are coming from those higher level leagues if we're going to actually compete in the World Cup. And the Gold Cup, as I say, I talk about the World Cup, but I see the Gold Cup as the first platform to start developing that.
Right, which is why I guess we're paying attention, obviously, to like, games like tonight. We'll close out with your thoughts as to what can be a key tonight, what you want to personally view at. But I got to ask you about yesterday, middle of the show, I see Twitter go nuts. The under 20 team knocking out France over in the Poland in the under 20 World Cup. So there's a World Cup going on for the under 20s.
That's
how
right.
big is that for them to go to the round of eight, and how big is that for that group and those kids to play well?
Very, very big. I mean, it's great for the future to win that game. I was surprised they won it, but it just shows you they've got talent there.
They were down 2-1 in the 74th minute.
Yeah, I know. But they've got talent there. They've got some of those players playing in good league, and it's very bright for the future. You always want to see that. Now, that doesn't mean they always transfer into top players. That there's mm-hmm. a path from the youth. Now, where do they go after that? So what's happened is at that youth level is you've now got, wow, people are going, wow, I need to pay attention to this team. So they'll start, you'll probably get leagues around the world that start looking at the players. If they go another step, if they go even a little bit further than that, in the Under-20 World Cup, you'll see top clubs starting to identify their best young talent there and seeing if it's worthwhile bringing them into their own organization, which is great for those players, you know. But it is great for the future. On tonight's game, just as a regular fan, I want to see a great performance as far as I want to see possession and creativity. That's for sure, because it's a spectacle. And I want to see good finishing and goals and goal-scoring opportunities. But I also want to really look for, I suppose, from a coach's mind, to see, you know, where we're going with our, the quality of our defenders and mm-hmm. and what we do when we don't have the ball, off the ball. Do teams look dangerous? I don't know how much Jamaica has to offer, but they've always got a couple of players that are very dangerous. And I'd want to have a sense of confidence that across the back, our back four, maybe our two central defenders or three, whatever he plays, and our goalkeepers are starting to look like they can be great players that can take us forward. I do believe we'll have the entertaining players and the players, the creative players, and the workhorse players across the field going forward. But I'd like to see the foundation of the team start to look really good and really, yeah. really have some confidence in it.
Look, I'm interested to pay attention and kind of look at it here as well. USA taking on Jamaica in a friendly tonight. So we'll be paying attention, Coach, to see what happens today. And look, no Pulisic, but again, there are other players other than Christian Pulisic that people have got to get to know, and this is kind of the process to do so.
Yeah, I'd love to see some really great performances, some surprises that say, wow, you know, we got another couple of players that can really take this team forward. I'd love to see that just pop out. Somebody unexpected tonight would be great, and especially over the next month.
At Nolan Jester is the way to follow Coach over on Twitter. Looking forward to chatting again on Friday. Going to preview the Women's World Cup first match. The host country, France, has it on Friday. And you'll let us know. I saw a top 25 of women's soccer. Only one American in the top 10. So maybe might be a little bit more competitive than I think it might be, Coach. So we'll talk about that on Friday.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Coach. Quick break. We come back. Reggie Bush, Marcus Colston, your newest members of the Saints Hall of Fame. We'll touch on them and hear from some players and coach from yesterday's OTA. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Let me tell you
what you can do. Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and any time on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Hi, I'm Captain Obvious, and every day thousands of people book trips on Hotels.com. Trips you will later hate like. What's a hate like? It's when you like Becky's picture of another perfect waterfall, even though you kind of hate it. It's not that you hate Becky, it's that you hate that she's there, and you're at work listening to Lisa talk about her alleged food allergies. Don't hate like Becky's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
So the men's national team over in Washington, D.C. Fox Sports 1 will have the game tonight, 6 p.m. if you want to check it out. USA and Jamaica, 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. USA, Venezuela. on June 9th is 1 p.m. That's going to be in Cincinnati, and that'll be on Fox. So FS1 tonight, Big Fox, going to take on Venezuela over on June 9th. And should be fun. Should be fun to check that out. The 9th, of course, is Sunday. So tonight, FS1, Sunday, Big Fox. You want to go check that out at 1 o'clock. So the new Saints Hall of Fame members, inductees, introduced today. Jordan's over there. We'll have that sound shortly. It's Marcus Colston and Reggie Bush. Sean Payton today in the press conference with them and said it's, I guess fitting is the word he used. When you look at the fact that it's the first draft pick he had as a Saints head coach and the last draft pick he had in his first year as a head coach in the first draft. I guess pretty incredible when you look at it from that perspective. The exact quote is, "There is some irony that we are honoring our first pick of the 2006 draft and our last pick." You know, I think so much when you start thinking of the Peyton Loomis era, what stands out is players that you didn't know were going to be the foundational and key pieces to winning a Super Bowl years later, and players and draft picks or signings that you did know of or heard of or thought highly of, maybe weren't the big pieces. And that's not to say Reggie wasn't, but when you look at Marcus Colston, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore, Scott Fujita, Scott Shanley. I'm talking about some guys that, you know, even throwing Vilma. I mean, the Jets were done with them. You look at a lot of players that organization and Coach Payton got that were either chips on their shoulder, second, third opportunities, you name it. But the first pick in Reggie Bush. Look, it didn't pan out to what the expectation level was, which is why Jordan Kahn and I were talking a little bit about it on the air earlier, and even off the air, about what's going to be like with Zion. There is potential. There is hope. There is expectations. There is all of that we saw with Reggie Bush. Gale Sayers, Barry Sanders. I mean, he was being called the Hall of Famer, compared to Hall of Famers at the very least. It's the first year that the season tickets were sold out for the season. Remember, they unveiled the banner. It was a banner. If you look up in the dome, 2006. First time the season was ever sold out for the first game. It wasn't Drew Brees. It was Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush brought that excitement level. I mean, I guess if you want to argue with me or bring up a case of, well, Sean Payton. Come on, how many of y'all actually knew he was? More people brought up at that time. Wasn't that the guy that got fired or his play calling duties were taken away with the Giants? He's our head coach? Good job. Good job. Wait, that Drew Brees guy. And he the guy that hurt his shoulder? Did he just get a shoulder surgery? I mean, I know Aaron Brooks throws the ball backwards, but at least he has a working arm. I mean, that was 2006, before training camp was, right? But Reggie Bush. I mean, we'd seen him at USC. College game day, you could not put on ESPN without something Reggie. Am I lying? I mean, Reggie was a star, man. I will never forget being part of the draft day experience. Mario Williams. And then the place went nuts. Because we all knew you're taking Reggie Bush. And when you heard the name, how many of y'all honestly remember hearing Bush, the last name? Because people started shouting the second you heard Reggie. I know, because in the tent at the draft party, all we heard was Reggie, Reggie in the dome that year, right? When he went back to get the punts. Reggie, Reggie. I mean, when you think about it, the expectation level, and it's interesting, we can kind of look at this next hour if you like, 2-800-998-1003. The expectation level we have for Zion, is it the same as maybe Reggie? Twitter Dave, thanks for giving us a call, man. What you got, buddy?
I just wanted to add to what you were talking about. Coach was with Drew. You know, if you recall, Dr. Andrews called it the worst rotator cuff tear he's ever seen in his life.
Yeah, people didn't go fly out to buy season tickets because of that. That's the fact.
That's exactly right. And it was because it was a complete tear all the way around his shoulder, which he's never seen before. And, you know, he's arguably one of the greatest surgeons NFL's ever seen.
Hall of Famer, if you ask me, right? That guy's got to go to Canton.
Well, if they can put, you know, guys that are not in the NFL, but do like Brennan and so forth, I don't see why they couldn't put him in.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I know you're going on a break, brother, so I'm listening. Great show as always.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you always tuning in. We'll be over at Vinny's tomorrow. Dave, we'll come to you right at the top of the hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll have some sound from Saints Camp. Jordan's on the way. We'll hear from Reggie and Marcus Colston. It's a sports hangover on ESPN New Orleans.